Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible on KEQX 89.7. The views, opinions, beliefs, and content expressed on the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Moore Expedition and its agents. The views, opinions, and belief expressed on this show may not be the same as those of KEQX or any of its agents. This show is brought to you by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas. Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, here with my good friend and fellow preacher from Hamilton, Texas, Tommy Moore. And we want to invite you to call in as we get into this program. The telephone number, this is a live call-in talk show. We're going to be discussing something that is quite controversial, has been for about 50 years here in the United States of America through our school system. We're going to be talking about evolution today, and we're going to tell you why we're going to be talking about evolution in just a moment. The number to call, should you want to make a comment or have a question, is 445-2473. It is 445-2473. 254-445-2473. Let me get this right. It's 254-445-2473. Or you can email us at keqx@rocketmail.com. Now, our motto has always been, you have heard what men have had to say. Now, let's see and hear what the Bible has to say. Well, when we're talking about evolution, Tommy, we need to ask the question, first of all, why would it be important to talk about something like this? And, of course, what we're going to do is prove the falsehood of the evolution that is being taught to our children. That is the number one reason that we want to talk about this, but another reason is that it creates confusion in our children and confusion in our society. Because if a person is confused about where he comes from, and this is what evolution teaches, that we don't come from God, but we come from a lower class of animal, and if we're confused about where we come from, then that is going to cause us to be confused about who we are. And if we're confused about who we are, then we're going to be confused about our sexuality.
You know, it's been said by some that when you tell our children that they come from monkeys,
mm-hmm.
they begin to act like it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, in the beginning, one fellow said, was matter, which beget the amoeba, which beget the worm, which beget the fish, which beget the amphibian, which beget the reptile, which beget the lower mammals, which beget the lemur, which beget the monkey, which beget man, who imagine God. This is the genealogy of man. This was stated by the late former president of the American Association for the Advancement of Atheism. But there was another man who wrote this, David. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1 and verse 1. And this man was Moses, the inspired prophet of God. Well, David, who was right? Was man an accidental product of a system that did not really have him in mind? Or is man specifically or specially created in the image of God, according to Genesis 1 and verse 26? Now, one thing we can be certain of, both cannot be true, can they?
No, that is absolute certainty.
And Sir Thomas Huxley once said, the doctrine of evolution, if consistently accepted, makes it impossible to believe the Bible. And David, that's the crux of the whole issue, isn't it?
Absolutely. And what we see this thing called science, and by the way, we'll get into that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Evolution is considered to be science. And we see this thing that is called science. It is taught in our science classes to our children. And what it's bringing into question is calling into question the biblical account of creation, that the origin of all things does not come from God, that the origin of all things is kind of self-created or self-manufactured here, that something comes from nothing. And the most important thing that we need to focus on here tonight is the fact that when you believe in evolution, as you just mentioned just a moment ago, it is an absolute impossibility to believe in the Bible and what the Bible teaches, because
that's right.
Both cannot be right. They are diametrically opposed to one another. And atheism is the or evolution, I might say, is the product of atheism.
That's right.
And when you get all of these people that are smart doctors and got a lot of numbers and letters behind their name, when you get all of these people jumping on a bandwagon and saying, you know, evolution's got to be true, then you have a lot of other people that want to jump on the bandwagon with them and say, okay, yeah, that must be right because all these smart people believe it. And a couple of old country boys over here, what in the world do they know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we do know what God has said.
You know, we might also, David, before we get too far into this, explain what we mean exactly by evolution.
Absolutely.
We're talking here today about organic evolution,
mm-hmm.
where one species evolves into another species. We know that that's false, and that's contrary to nature.
Mm-hmm.
But there is evolution that takes place, and for example, your cattleman, tell us a little bit about that kind of evolution.
Well, and everyone that's ever been associated with cattle knows that this is true. You look at some pictures back in the 50s of show cattle that were taken to the Fort Worth Stock Show. They were little short dumpy things. And then you go back in the 1970s and you look at the cattle that were taken into the show ring there, and they were twice the size, twice as big. They evolved from little bitty things to great big things. And you go back in the 90s and you look again, and they've come back down as far as their sizes go. And this is an evolution of sorts. They evolved from being little to being big. But this is not a changing of the species. This is merely an evolving of the type within its own kind. A cow never did change and become a horse, and a man never did, or a monkey never did change and become a man. And this kind of evolution that we're talking about here today is the kind of evolution that is taught to our children. It's always been amazing that we will accept the long, complicated, imaginative theories in regard to evolution versus creation, when it's virtually impossible to prove with real science that evolution is true.
That's right. You know, in Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 24, on the day of creation, he says here, verse 24, "And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping things, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after their kind. And God saw that it was good." And so right there in Genesis chapter 1, it talks about how that these produce after their kind, which flies right into the face of organic evolution, where they claim that one species evolved into another species.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's clearly contrary to God's law.
You know, Tommy, a lot of people that want to believe in evolution, they call the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis a myth. And it's interesting that they would pick on the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis, because even if you took them out, and they're not a myth, by the way, they were written through inspiration, and they are not a myth, but if you were to take those first 11 chapters out, still the rest of the Bible would confirm what the first 11 chapters teach us.
That's right.
Even Jesus himself confirms creation, and we'll get into that just a little bit later. You can't say that those are a myth, and then Jesus is standing up as and putting the myth forth as truth.
That's right.
Now, either he's the Son of God or he's not.
Mm-hmm.
And if he is the Son of God, he's going to tell us the truth about things.
You know, there are a lot of people who are accepting the evolutionist explanation of origins, and yet they're rejecting the Bible's explanation. Well, David, tell us a little bit why so many people are believing in evolution.
Well, as we mentioned just a moment ago, a lot of people that are extremely wise in the eyes of men have claimed that evolution is true. And what we find is that when a wise man of the world believes in one thing, there are a lot of people that are ready to jump on that bandwagon. As a matter of fact, Dr. Henry Morris said, and I'd like to quote this, "The main reason most educated people believe in evolution is because they have been taught that most educated people in the world believe in evolution." And that's kind
exactly
of a circular reasoning, but it is exactly the reason why people do.
And you know, there are a lot of people who believe in evolution because they've also have never been shown that evolution is false.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they go to schools and they read the textbook, they never see the counter arguments to what the evolutionists set forth. And as we're going to be developing this Monday and next Monday, we're going to be showing beyond a shadow of a doubt that evolution is not only a theory, but it's a false theory and cannot be true. And you're going to be amazed, if you do not already know, how much proof there is that shows beyond a shadow of a doubt that organic evolution is false.
It's interesting that you point out to us that that people have never been shown that it has been false. As a matter of fact, it is against the law in the state of Texas to teach the creation factual account that is given in the Bible. It is against the law to teach the other side of evolution, creation. It's against the law. My daughter taught science in a school in the state of Texas, and she had to teach what was in the Bible, but she prefaced what was in the school curriculum. But she prefaced her teaching this with, "Anybody that would like to stay after school, I would like to show you the counter argument that is given to us in God's Word." Mm-hmm. And there were just about as many kids stayed after school to hear it as were in the class the first time around.
I remember when I was living in another state that my daughter, Brandy, she came home in tears one day saying, "Daddy, I had to put false doctrine on my test." I go, "Well, what are you talking about?" "I had to say that the world came through evolution." Well, she knew that was not true, but mm-hmm. she knew that that was the correct answer that she had to put on her test to make a good grade. And that was when she was in kindergarten.
Wow.
That just shows you how far back they go and start teaching our kids. Even the cartoons you see on TV is progressing and teaching this very idea of organic evolution.
Right.
Well, Dr. D.E.M.S. Watson said, "Evolution is accepted by zoologists to be true, not because it can be observed to occur or can be proved by logical, coherent evidence to be true, but because the only alternative, special creation, is incredible." And David, that is really the bottom line to all of this evolution idea, is there's only two alternatives. Either you're going to believe in God and mm-hmm. the creation, or you're going to be believing in atheism and evolution. Those are your only two choices.
Well, you know, and even he says that special creation is clearly incredible, but it's incredible to him.
Yes.
It's not incredible to people who believe in God as a creator, but to him it is incredible. And we get right back to atheism here. And what we're talking about, I would like to throw in a passage of Scripture here. God knew this was going to happen. And through inspiration, the Holy Spirit gives the words to Paul the Apostle to write to the church at Corinth. And by the way, Corinth was a problematic church. It was a church with a lot of problems. They brought a lot of the world into the church, and that's where the problems came. And in verse 19, he says, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them which believe." Those who actually think it is credible, Tommy. The credibility.
That's
the credibility
right.
certainly lies within us all. You know, some have been truly convinced that evolution is true, And some have never, ever heard that evolution is untrue. Just like you mentioned just a moment ago, they've been taught from a very, very, very early age. Even your cartoons, the red flags come up. You look at your National Geographic, you look at your the Learning Channel or the Discovery Channel or whatever channel you want. When they start talking about animals and the animal life, they start talking about millions and millions of years ago, and there is your red flag, because in order for evolution to be true, they've got to have lots and lots of time.
That's right. You know, the Bible said in Psalm 14 and verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And again, that is what's behind this whole issue of evolution. They do not want to believe in God. Therefore, they do not want to believe in the Genesis account of creation. And also, as a result of that, they concocted this idea of evolution because they choose not to believe in God. And so that's something that's very important for us to realize. You know, and a lot of people, as a result of that, have a very bad view or dislike or distrust of the Bible.
Sure.
For this very reason. You know, why is the matter of creation versus evolution so important? Well, the book of Genesis, David, is the single most ridiculed book in all the Bible. We've already mentioned some about this, how that it is considered to be foolish, considered to be anti-scientific, considered to be nothing more than a fairy tale, a myth. But we need to realize that the book of Genesis is the foundation of the whole Bible, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
Because it tells us where we came from and why we're here and where we're going.
True.
And if we can't believe what the Bible says about this issue, then we're going to have big trouble.
You know, we started this program today by saying that this evolution creates lots of confusion. If you're confused about where you come from, then you certainly are confused about who you are. And this idea of atheism gave birth to evolution, to try to prove the non-existence of God through evolution. And we're talking about confusion, not only in the area of homosexuality versus heterosexuality, not only in the area of abortion, a lot of confusion. We have laws in our land and all over the world now that give more rights to an eagle egg in a nest than it does to a baby in the womb.
Right.
The most dangerous place for a baby today is in the womb, and it is because of the teaching of evolution and the non-existence of God that is there. But at the same time, it gives more rights to an egg. It is a federal offense in the United States of America, Tommy, to disturb an egg in the nest of an eagle. And yet you can kill an unborn child in the womb with no repercussion whatsoever. This is the confusion that evolution teaches.
When people don't believe in God, they're not going to believe in morality.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see how far that goes, can't you? As
absolutely.
You mentioned, homosexuality, abortion, having having more rights for the endangered species of the world than you do human beings, and all of this teaches us that we're no better than apes when you believe in evolution.
Right, right. Well, when we talk about evolution, it's very, very difficult. And this comes because, again, we get right back to that thing that Dr. Watson says, that mainly people believe this because educated people believe that, or that was Dr. Henry Morris. People believe in evolution because educated people believe in evolution. When we look at evolution, we have people that want to believe in the Bible, but evolution seems so credible sometimes when they just take bits and pieces and try to teach whatever. They want to try to combine then their Bible and the evolutionary theory. And let's make this crystal clear that evolution is never, ever been proven to be a fact.
That's right.
Never. It is a theory today. It has always been a theory, but it is taught as fact. And we never need to get away from that it is indeed a theory. Now, before we get any further, and before we jump into this theistic evolution, which is going to combine the Bible and evolutionary theory, I want to give that phone number out again. The phone number is 254-445-2473. For those of you who would like to get in on this conversation, it is 254-445-2473. Now, this theistic evolution that that we're going to talk about here is the idea that you can take the Bible and you can believe the Bible, but some way or another, evolution has got to fit in with God's Word. God's Word has got to be compromised in some way in order to fit the evolutionary theory in there. And there are all kinds of problems with this, Tommy. Why don't you, walk us through some of these problems?
You know, it's amazing to me, David, that men will accept long, complicated, imaginative theories, and yet reject the simple truth given by Moses, by the Creator himself, that God created the heavens and the earth. I make this statement in light of all the attacks being made on the Genesis account of creation in our day and time. You know, there are many of these attacks, astonishingly enough, are made by those who claim to be friends of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
People who are supposedly Bible believers who wear, in some instances, even the name Christian. And many are going to great lengths to try to prove that God didn't really mean what he said in Genesis chapter 1. You know, there are some who want to believe in evolution, but also they want to believe in the God of the Bible. And so they have concocted this idea of theistic evolution, where they believe that God has put into action evolution in the Genesis account.
And what they want to do is take out the literal interpretation of Genesis, mm-hmm, and the account of creation, and they want to believe that God put evolution in action when he didn't do it, and the Bible clearly tells us that he did not do that. It's wrong for a couple of reasons. Number one, organic evolution, as we said, organic evolution, the fact that there is a process of change that is going to take a group or a kind and change it into something else, is false. It's scientifically unprovable, and this lie is being propelled to all of our children in our school system. Now, I love our school system. I really do. I love the fact that we are a knowledgeable bunch of people in the United States of America because of the wonderful school systems that we have available, free of charge, public school systems to those who want to go. But there are some things that they are mandated to teach in those school systems through our government, through a process of time, because intelligent men have believed something and they have caused other intelligent, wise men to believe something, that they have now forced, by law, the teaching of the evolutionary theory as fact, and you may not, it is against the law to preach or teach the creationary factual account of how we got here and how God made the world. Genesis chapter 1 teaches that creation took place in a literal 6 days. And this is where the theistic evolutionist gets off track immediately.
That's right.
Immediately.
And if you don't believe that God created the earth in 6 little days, you don't believe the Bible.
That's it.
Because that's what he taught. You know, in connection with that, there's something called the day-age theory. The day-age theory states that the 6 creation days of Genesis chapter 1 were not days, that is, 24-hour days as we know them at all, but rather they say in this day-age theory that they were long ages or eons, possibly millions of years long, that each day represented these long period of times. And one of their alleged proofs for this is over there in 2 Peter chapter 3, in verse 8, are you turning over there, David?
I'm turning over there as we speak.
And that's one of the things what they try to go to try to say that these days of creation are more than 24-hour period of time.
Verse number 8 says, and this is the Holy Spirit through Peter, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. Now, this is taken out of context. Because what he's saying here is that eternity has no measurement, and eternity does not affect the promise of God.
Mm-hmm.
Time in itself does not affect any of the promises of God. And that's all in the world he's saying here. He's talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ at this particular time. It's been a while. When is the end of the world? When is the judgment going to come? Well, it has nothing to do with time. When God gets ready, it'll happen. And that's all in the world that he's saying here. And that thing is taken completely out of context and tried to make 1,000 years be a specific period of time, like a day or a partial day or whatever it is that they want it to be.
And even if we gave them their argument and say that 1,000 years is as one day as they would like to use it, that only gives them 6,000 years.
Right.
And that's not near enough time, because they say that each day represents eons of time.
Mm-hmm.
And so even their own argument, even if it were true, does not give enough time for evolution to be true. And that's what they need in evolution. They need time. They need lots of time.
Well, you know, since I have been out of school, and it seems like a long time, I've been out since 1970. That'll make it, what, 20 years?
I can't count that high.
Well, since I've been out of high school, the time frame for evolution has changed several different times. And when I was in high school, it was millions of years. They've changed that now to billions and billions of years is the age that you have to have for evolution to be true. They change it as their needs come about. Evolution without time is not a possibility.
That's right.
Absolutely an impossibility. So if you can show that the world is not as old as they say it is, you have disproved the theory of evolution, and certainly disproved theistic evolution to the hilt.
That's exactly right. And, you know, in regard to this day-age theory, another reason that it is false is because of the word yom. In Genesis chapter 1, the word day is translated from the Hebrew word yom. And it's interesting that in chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible defines what the word yom means. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, "And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day." He defines it there for us. And you know, it's almost like if we didn't get the picture, he says it 6 times. The first day, the evening and the morning were the first day. The evening and the morning were the second day. The evening and the morning were the third day, and all the way down to the sixth day, each time he defines what kind of day he's talking about, a day that has an evening and a morning.
Right.
Now, I'm a country boy, but to me that tells me that's a 24-hour period.
Yes. And then, if that weren't enough, the word is used again in Genesis, or Exodus chapter 20, and verse number 11, when Moses relates the creation of God. In verse 11, he says, "For in 6 days," the same word is used that was used in Genesis, "for in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that in them is, and he rested on the seventh day," another day called Yom, "wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." And so you have that day used over in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, and that's way past the first 11 chapters of Genesis,
exactly.
Way past there, and several hundred years removed from there. And so we see this day-age theory is just as false as it can be, and that is the only way that theistic evolution will even be attempted to be proven to be true. But it is a false thing from start to finish.
And you know, that word yom is interesting also. That it's used some 800 times in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And every single time, it refers to a 24-hour period. That's 800 times, referring to a 24-hour period. And so, that, again, that's something that proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that he's talking here about 24-hour days in the day of creation.
Well, Tommy, if you cannot believe the book of Genesis, then you can't believe any part of the Bible. Mm-hmm. No part of it whatsoever. And people try to, well, we don't live under the Old Testament. We better figure out what creation and evolution is if we're going to believe the Bible, because you can't have it both ways. As we pointed out at the very beginning of this lesson, you cannot have it both ways. Man did not evolve from a lower animal.
That's right.
God created man, and we see that, we read it in Genesis chapter 1. It is the foundation of our belief in God. We either were created by God or we weren't at all. And if we weren't at all created by God, you can throw the Bible away.
You know, it's also interesting to me, David, that in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 14 it says, "And God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years." Now, the question that I have, David, is that if the days, as the theistic evolutionists allege, represents eons of time, years, millions of years, then what does the word year represent in this passage? It's telling us here that he's talking about two different things. He's talking about days, 24-hour period of times, and years.
Right.
So again, that proves that the day being spoken of here is that concerning 24-hour period.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The number to call, again, is 254-445-2473. We'd love for you to get in on this conversation. We're going to take a break for just a little bit, and we'll come back on the other side of the break, and we'll continue with this evolutionary theory and how it is false and how the Bible definitely can prove it to be false.
Brethren, we have met to worship.
Friends, this message is brought to you by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. We do not claim to be a perfect church, but we strive to be a church sound in doctrine, active in good works, and united in the bond of peace. At Park Heights, we believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God. Therefore, we insist upon Bible authority for everything that we teach and practice. We believe that we ought to teach what people were taught in the first century, believe what they were taught to believe, and do what they were taught to do. At Park Heights, we will never intentionally do or say anything that would make you feel uncomfortable. We will not ask you to believe anything unless we can give you Bible authority for it. The Park Heights Church of Christ would like to welcome you to come to our worship service with us each Sunday. We have Bible study Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Our worship times begin each Sunday at 10:25 a.m. and also at 6 p.m. We also have Bible study for all ages each Wednesday at 7 p.m. And at the Park Heights Church of Christ, we stand in the old paths and speak the truth in love.
Blessed assurance.
Do not let the memories of your defeats discourage you. Those defeats happened yesterday. Those mistakes, blunders, follies, the things that shame you and fill you with remorse, they are part of a day that is gone. Today is a new day. God has given you a new 24 hours. The best way to put the horrors of yesterday behind us is to fill today with a new and a better effort. Put your trust in God and walk in the old paths. Jeremiah tells us about them in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, "And good things will happen." Paul said, "And we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose." "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended," he says, "but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Friends, let us focus on the future. I'm David Harris, preacher for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, and I invite you to worship with us every Sunday morning. Bible class begin at 9:30, worship at 10:30, midweek Bible classes at 7 p.m. Make plans now to attend.
Welcome back to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. My name is Tom Moore. With me today, as always, is my good friend David Harris, and we're talking today about evolution and the organic evolution, and we're showing that it's contrary to God's Word, and We want you to call in with questions or comments at 254-445-2473. Or if you prefer, you can email us at keqx@rocketmail.com. As we left you a moment ago, we were talking about theistic evolution, and we want to make one more argument to show this is false as we go on to some other issues concerning this. But I want you to notice, if you have your Bibles with you, turn over with me to Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 1, we're going to read verses 9 through 13. It says there, "And God said, Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. And God said, Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding forth those seeds was in itself after this kind, and God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day." Now, the point that I want to make here is that in these verses, verses 9 to 13, it talks about how that on the third day, he created vegetation. Now, what's interesting here, David, is that the sun was not even created until the fourth day.
Right.
Now,
that's just 24 hours.
That's 24 hours. Now, if we give them their argument,
mm-hmm,
that these days represent millions of years of time, that means we have vegetation here on the earth for over a million years without the sun.
Impossible.
You know, we need the sun for the plants to grow, don't we?
Right.
And so that's another argument to show that the theistic evolution just cannot be true. And if we don't, if we believe in the Bible,
mm-hmm,
we cannot believe in evolution, can we, David?
No, we can't. And by the way, if we cannot believe the book of Genesis, and the book of Genesis is a great study, and I would highly recommend anyone who has read it to go back and read it again and read it again, because it is highly educational. And the book of Genesis, if we cannot believe that book, we can't believe any part of the Bible. Jesus himself believes in the book of Genesis. I want to call your attention to John and the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verses 46 and 47. Now, he's referring to Moses being the author, not the author, but the penman of the book of Genesis. And he says this, "For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words?" And then again in John chapter 3 and verse number 12, Jesus says this, "If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things?" And so we've got to believe in Christ in order to get to heaven. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me." He is the truth. He is the author of eternal salvation. He says that he believes what Moses wrote.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good enough for me.
That's right.
That's good enough for me. I don't care what Dr. Watson had to say about other smart guys.
That's right.
Jesus has got them trumped in a good way.
And if we don't believe, then bring it down to brass tacks. If we don't believe in the Genesis account of creation, we do not believe any of the Bible.
No.
Isn't that right?
No. I mean, you're just playing with religions.
That's
all you're
right.
doing.
That's
you're
right.
you're not believing anything. There's basically two ideas for the origin of the universe. One is the creation model, and the other is the evolutionary model. And we've talked about both of these. The creation says that the universe is not self-contained, and everything in the universe and the universe itself came into being through the design, the purpose, and the deliberate action of a supernatural creator, and that would be God.
That's right.
Nobody has made anything without a design. You've got to have a design before something can be made, and there is a design for this world and for the universe as God has created it. Now, the other side of that is the evolutionary model. We've got creation on one hand, we've got the evolutionary model on the other one that says the universe is self-contained, that the origin of the universe is explained solely on chance, time, and a continuing natural process. They believe in simple form that something at one time came from nothing. Now, we know that that's an absolute impossibility, and that is not scientific, by the way. They claim this is science, but science disproves that theory over and over and over again. You cannot get something from nothing.
That's right. You know, and as we're talking about evolution, it's important for us to realize that evolution does not even fall into the realm of science.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what is science? Well, Oxford Dictionary defines science as a branch of study which is concerned with a connected body of demonstrated truths and observed facts. Science deals with those things that can be observed and measured by using the five senses. It knows by experimentation, observation, and recreation. Now, David, science is concerned with a given system already in operation. And science, David, is, well, it's powerless to explain origins because you cannot recreate it. You cannot see it take place. Science may define methods and qualities and limits, but it cannot determine origins. And so evolution cannot and will not be proved scientifically.
And yet it is considered to be science.
That's right. It's where you learn in schools, isn't it? In the science
exactly.
class.
Exactly. You go to science class. You don't go to English class. You don't go to ag class. You go to the science class to be taught about evolution. And evolution is not science. As a matter of fact, it is a theory. It's a theory. It's not a fact.
It really falls in the realm of philosophy.
Philosophy would be a good place to put it. If you like untrue philosophy, philosophy even, Tommy, it has out there as a goal to search for the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Philosophy has a target. It's a philosophical target, and philosophy claims that you really can't ever hit the target on the bullseye. You can just get close. That's kind of what philosophy is. About as easy to be a philosopher as it is a weather forecaster, because you don't have to be right all the time.
That's
you just
right.
got to get close.
You know, one of the things that's interesting for us to realize is that there are frauds in science.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that.
Mm-hmm.
Frauds in science. Well, many scientists are viewed as the models of virtue in the intellectual community, aren't they, David?
Yes.
And they are considered by many to be a priesthood in white apparel, tinkering with test tubes in the Holy of Holies. But I want to give you a couple of examples. I'll give you one, and David will give you the other example, of some of the frauds that we have here in science. And one of these is the one that I really like. I like it because it's so dumb, and people have believed it for so long. It's what's called the embryonic recapitulation hoax. Now, that's a mouthful, isn't it?
What does that mean?
Well, Ernest Henrich, who lived from 1834 to 1919, he was a German biologist who received fame as a consequence of this, of popularizing this so-called recapitulation theory. Now, this false theory that teaches that the development of the human embryo is repeated in the evolutionary stage. And you probably have seen these in your textbooks,
right,
where you've seen these embryos developing, and you would see there would be the lizard, the chicken, and all this would be developing in the human embryo. And they say that is that which mimics the evolutionary theory. Well, it found out that Heinrich falsified his drawings, and he was exposed and convicted by a university court. This is back in the 1800s that this was done, and I remember very vividly when I was in school that this embryonic recapitulation theory was in my textbook back in the early 1970s, late 1960s.
Well, I remember seeing those as well. And as we were going through the teaching of evolution in this, quote, science class, when I saw that, I thought, how can this be? How is it that all of the people who understand the Bible are telling me that all of this is false, and yet they've got pictures here,
mm-hmm.
pictures here that show me that this is recreating evolution in the womb? And the fact of the matter is, the whole thing was a fraud. They were touched up photos, and they represented nothing but an absolute lie.
That's
and
right.
This is just one of the frauds that you find in science, trying to uphold this false theory of evolution. I'd like to read a quote by a fellow by the name of Thornton Walling. He says here, "Physical science knows by experimentation and observation. Historically, science knows through credible testimony, psychology, by immediate consciousness of freedom and personality, philosophy through the universal laws of pure reason and thought, religion by the answers of the infinite personality to the call of moral and spiritual need, and to the claim that knowledge belongs alone to any of these fields is to ignore the breadth of the possible knowledge and the high endowments of human nature through certain concealed Phariseeism, which is the essence of conceit and obscurantism." I can't even pronounce that word. "For natural science, history, psychology, ethics, philosophy, or religion to affirm that there's only one made cognition, that is its own way, is to betray pride which convicts of lack of real culture in the court of high reason." And all in the world that is saying, that's a big, long explanation of, you've got to believe science and the theory of evolution or you're not smart.
That's right.
That's basically what that says. Now, we're talking about some of these falsehoods that comes down here, the Piltdown hoax. And it was a hoax, the Piltdown man. In December of 1912, two men were said to have had discovered the missing link, the half-man, half-ape. And by 1950, a dating method was developed, and in 1953, it was determined that this Piltdown man was a hoax. What they had done, Tommy, they had taken the skull of a human that was a couple of thousand years old, or so it was assumed, and they had attached the jaw of a modern monkey with human teeth inserted, and they called it the missing link. And this was what they were needing. They couldn't find the link that took the monkey to the man. All of these eons of time that have been here on the face of this earth, according to them, there has not been one link found, that missing link. It was so important that they went out and they fraudulently made the missing link out of a piece of a monkey and the skull of a man. And these kinds of things are what has been taught, what have been taught to our children in the school systems for years and years and years. And as you mentioned just a moment ago, some of these kids, some of these adults now have never been taught that it was untrue.
That's exactly right. Now, David, we just got an email in from Denny in Snyder, Texas.
All right.
So people all the way in Snyder are listening to us, and he mentioned something here, a comment that we talked about a moment ago, but I want to read what he said. He said, if each day were millions of years or long periods of time rather than a 24-hour period, how would the plant survive long periods of darkness, no photosynthesis, which means it would die, or long periods of light, it would burn up and die? The ability to produce, grow, and go through a regular cycle of growth would not be possible, which means that the day-age theory was true, all plant life would be destroyed long before the day was up. The same principle is true for insects as well. Not to mention their ability to help plants germinate.
Very good, Denny. Appreciate that email. And so very, very true. And a lot of times, Tommy, just a little bit of common sense kicks the theory of evolution right out the window. Just a little bit of common sense. And yet these theories that come through here, they are so elaborate of how things came to be rather than accepting the simple truth that God created the heavens and the earth and all that in them is.
You know, there's an important lesson for us to learn here, David. We do not need to be intimidated by the so-called discoveries of the unbelieving world. Now, we realize that all discoveries are not fake, of course, but they are often subject to the interpretation of the discoverer.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to see that very clearly as we continue to study about this evolutionary theory, this false theory that's just taking the world by wildfire. It's just not false. It's just not true.
It's interesting that you mention the fact that we should not be intimidated. Our children are intimidated when they go to school. First of all, we've got teenagers, and even up in college, when they get to be in their early 20s, they are still at the feet and studying at the feet of these people who have these doctorate degrees, and they're telling them point blank, God doesn't exist, and they're telling them, if you think about this and if you believe that, you're just an idiot. But I'd like to digress just a little bit and tell a story about a young man that was in school in high school. And this hasn't been that many years ago, and he was giving them answers that they wanted to pass the class. And on the side of his paper, he wrote, "I am answering these questions as you have requested, but I do not believe this. The creation is the answer to all of this." And he was discounted. He was penalized on an A paper for writing that over there to the side because he wanted to be able to maintain his integrity and his belief in what the truth was truly was. And so he wrote that side note over there and was penalized in his grade because he wrote that. And yet he gave all of the answers that they wanted.
And that's one of the reasons that evolution has stood for such a long time, is because these young people are going into the schools,
mm-hmm.
into elementary, into high school, into college, and these professors who have the authority over them and who can give them an A or an F,
mm-hmm.
Browbeat them and cause them and make them to believe in something that is clearly false. And so that's a great difficulty that we have, and also shows the importance of family.
Right.
How that family and religion needs to very much point out and prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that creation is true and that evolution is false.
Well, you know, I can even remember when I went to college, went first to Cisco Junior College and then finished over here at Tarleton. I took some psychology courses that were mandated. And in these psychology courses, without fail, everyone that was teaching those psychology courses, they were making light of the fact that anyone could believe in creation and in God. They were pointing toward atheism all the way. In other words, you could not, and by the way, psychology, a study of what? A study of the psyche, a study of the mind. Where does science come from? It comes from knowledge. Is that not what knowledge is?
Yes.
And so they are intricately woven here, and they are trying to create an atheistic view in every aspect of our education. And that's not the way that this thing started.
That's right. You know, we're swiftly running out of time, aren't we, David?
Yes, we are.
And I want to make one argument, and we're going to make a lot more arguments next Monday showing that evolution is false, and we're going to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt, we're going to make a prima facie case for the fact that evolution is false. But what we're going to talk about in our remaining time here is what the science field needs in regard to evolution, and that is time.
Lots of it.
And we're going to talk a little bit about the age of the earth. The most important thing for the evolutionist is time, and lots of it. The evolutionists blatantly assert that the Earth is billions of years old. And they're forced into this assertion, David, because without eons of time at their disposal, well, evolution would be false. It'd be impossible.
According to them.
According to them.
Because this is their theory, by the way. They've built the theory. They've built it on a false premise, and they've built it on a false concept of time. And there is nothing in this theory that is true.
You know, I want us to consider some obstacles that scientists have in trying to ascertain the age of the Earth. For example, there is no scientific method which can prove, in any absolute sense, the age of the Earth. And all scientific datings are based on certain assumptions for who was there, David, when the beginning clock started. Who was there?
God.
Well, notice some things that are necessary for an accurate timer. There has to be readable units and understandable scales. It must be accurate whether in millions of years or fractions of seconds. We must know when the timer was started and what was the reading when it was started. It must run in a uniform rate. It must not be disturbed in any way. Needless to say, the alleged scientific chronometers of the evolutionists do not meet these basic standards.
Not at all. And we're not arguing about whether the age of the Earth is 5,000 years old or 10,000 years old.
Right.
We're arguing the difference between 10,000 and billions.
That's right.
And when you're talking about billions and now in today's economy, billions is not as much as it used to be. Now we're talking about trillions, but billions is not what it used to be. And just to give you an idea of what you're talking about when you're talking about billions, it takes 17 years. If you were to count to a billion, Tommy, it takes 17 years if you count two numerals per second. It will take you 17 years to count to a billion.
That's a long
time. Now, that is the difference that we're talking about between that and 10,000, between 6 and 10,000 years here.
You know, what's amazing to me, David, is that our textbooks tell us that the scientific texts, tell us that the Earth is billions of years old. And they say that there are various tests to show this. But did you know, and I know you did, but many people may not, that there are over 75 scientific methods which indicate that the Earth is relatively young. And you know, David, these are not mentioned in our textbooks.
No. And one of the reasons that they are not mentioned is because some of these 75 theories, if not all of them, will actually revert back to the truth, which is coming from the Word of God to prove this point.
Mm-hmm.
In the 33rd Psalm, in verse number 6, we read this, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all of the host of them by the breath of his mouth." In verse 9, it says, "For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." So when God says in Genesis chapter 1 that the world was made in 6 days, it was made by fiat. God spoke, and it was done.
That's right.
But when he created the world, he didn't create everything in the infant stage either.
That's right.
He created many things fully mature, and when that creation was given there, there were a lot of things that were created fully mature. So the question is, how old is the Earth? And based upon the timer and when it started and who had it, science can't tell us, Tommy.
That's right.
So it's not in the realm of scientific possibility for science to tell us how old the Earth is.
You mentioned how that God created things with an apparent age. Well, we might ask, how old was Adam when he was created? Well, he was 2 seconds. 2 seconds old. But he had an apparent age, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He was created at the age where he was able to procreate.
Right.
And, you know, and so we look at other things of this world, you know, for example, the Grand Canyon. You know, the Colorado River going to the Grand Canyon, they said it must have taken millions of years for that river to cut into that canyon. No, it didn't. God created it with an apparent age.
Right.
And so we've got to realize that with regard to the Earth. And how old is the Earth, David?
Well, it's 5 days older than Adam. according to the Word of God, it is 5 days older than Adam. And by the way, when he created Adam with the ability to procreate, how old did Adam look? Did he look like you or like me, or did, how old did he look? We don't know that. We don't have that time at our disposal, and neither does science.
You know, the question we ought to ask is, how would God create anything without it having the appearance of some age?
Well, it'd have to have an appearance of some age.
That's exactly right. And so,
just good common sense tells you that an oak tree that you can't reach around is quite a bit older than one that you can put your hand around, and so one that is older, it's more mature. It has an apparent age. Now, we can tell how old some things are when we cut them down and count the age rings on the tree, but we don't know just exactly how old those things are as they live.
Now, being the fact that Adam is only the earth is only 5 days older than Adam, and you consider the genealogies according to the data found in the biblical genealogies.
Mm-hmm.
Which extend from Jesus back to Adam, when you can look at Luke chapter 3, verses 23 and following, the earth is shown to be about 10,000 years old.
Right.
That's a far cry from 5.2 billion years old, as some people allege that the earth is.
Yeah, I always have to smile just a little bit when they come up with the 0.2 and the 0.3. I don't know just exactly how they got that. Well, Tommy, we're just about out of time, and I've thoroughly enjoyed being on the program here with you today to talk about evolution. I do hope those of you who are listening could get some youngsters to listen to this program next week, because we're going to give some be able to arm themselves with, and if nothing else, educate themselves against the false teaching that is being given them in their schools. As a matter of fact, most of the teachers that have been forced to teach this evolutionary theory, they don't believe it, but they've got to teach it because it is law.
Right.
This is one of the silly laws that we have coming from our government who will give this good education to our children, teaching our children to read and teaching our children many, many great things. But the material that they are forced to teach is absolutely devastating to our society, and we have seen the results of it in the last 40 or 50 years, and it is just progressively getting worse. My thinking on this, Tommy, is that it's the atheistic view that holds evolution as its proof, which cannot be proven.
That's right.
Now, I'm going to sign off with saying God bless America. I'm going to let you have the last word.
And we're going to, next Monday, talk about some of the alleged evidences of evolution. We're going to talk about natural selection. We're going to discuss vestigial organs, comparative arguments, genetic mutations. We're going to be looking at the geological timetable and also discussing the fossil record. All of these are alleged proofs of evolution, but we're going to show them to be false. So we'll see you next Monday.